We're back. Episode 4 of the Reporter's Corner. I'm one half your co-host, Jared Rivedo of the Bemidji Pioneer. With me is other co-host, Trent Singer, sports reporter from the Sioux Falls Live. Trent, how are we doing?
Doing great. How are we doing, Jared?
Not too bad. We got a good one today. We just wrapped up an interview with Lake State defenseman and captain, Grant Heineman. Outstanding interview. We just keep lucking out with, you know, 4 great interview guests to start this off. So we're waiting to bottom out here on the Reporter's Corner. But Trent, why don't you give us a little bit of a rundown of Grant's career and what we talked about with him?
Yeah, Grant Heineman, who's named captain this year at Lake State. He's just such a well-spoken guy, and I'm sure Grant will listen to this. And if he doesn't, I see a possible coach in the future in him, because that guy knows his stuff, and he understands team, and he understands culture like a player, like coaches want players to know. And I know, you know, he's one of this conference's all academic guys, and you could just hear it in his voice and in his answers. He's so well spoken. From the north suburbs of Detroit, played AAA hockey for Little Caesars team for 6 years, which was really unique.
It's crazy.
And then, just had a 2-year, he had a 2-year junior hockey career in the NAHL, one year with Janesville, and then 1 year in the USHL with Youngstown Phantoms. And then obviously he made his way to Lake Superior State. He is a senior on this year's team, was an alternate captain last year, and is now the team captain. All time, I believe, 7 points in his college career. He is the quintessential stay-at-home defenseman. Has scored 1 goal. He scored a goal in the Capo Cup last year, and we talked a little bit about that. We talked a little bit about just his career, this year's Lake State team, and just such a great interview. So I really hope you guys enjoy this one. It's like Jared said, we've really lucked out and had some good people on this show, and Grant Heineman is no different.
Yeah, so let's kick it to our chat with Grant. All right, we are joined by Lake Superior State Captain Grant Heineman. Grant, thank you for joining the Reporter's Corner. You're the second player we've had on the Reporter's Corner this year. So, thanks again for joining us.
Yeah, appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully it works as well as the first one. You know, Carter Ranclough is you know, CCHA forward of the week and scored 3 times after he came on the show. So maybe you're going to get a little bit of a boost.
The Reporter's Corner bump. That's what we're calling it now.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't mind that.
All right. So, I think the place I want to start with here is, you were named team captain, and, I think it's just, what did this honor mean to you to be the captain of this hockey team in your senior year? And just kind of the sentimental stuff that came with that vote of confidence.
Yeah, it's a humongous honor, and for a couple different reasons. One is, this is a super history program, 5 national championships, and we just had a bunch of the alumni teams come in from the 74 and 94 national championships, and it's just such an honor to wear the C, especially when so many great guys did before me. So that's right off the bat is one of the biggest things. And then number 2 is being able to wear it for this group. I've been lucky enough to be a part of some really cool groups in my time here at Lake State. And I can't say this one's my favorite yet, but it's a phenomenal group to be a part of. And it just makes me so happy. And I'll add to that too, and just saying that we have a great group of seniors and leaders outside myself that make my job easy. And something I'm really thankful for as well. Just a phenomenal group to be a part of.
I know. Yeah. When you mentioned the kind of the leaders before you and the alumni and the tradition and the history of the program, when all that stuff is factored in, just how motivating is that for you to kind of keep that precedent going through your captainship?
Oh, incredibly. It's at the forefront of a lot of guys' minds. Every year we pick a motto. And I won't go into all the details. It's a little bit secretive sometimes, but the model for us is all about getting back to that national championship standard. That's what drives us every single day. And so we recognize the importance of those alumni coming in and really making a big impact on us. So it is truly every single day we come in, we're reminded of it. We have the national championship trophy sitting right in the front of our locker room right now. So that's the standard for us. So it's our job to make sure we get back there. We strive every day to be there. So that's, if that isn't motivation enough, I don't know what it is.
Absolutely.
Great. I want to get into some of the early stuff. That's always the stuff that kind of really interests me the most. I mean, what for you personally, what are some of, you know, the earliest memories that you have of playing hockey? And for you, can you identify just sort of a singular moment where you maybe just kind of fell in love with the game?
Gosh, there's so many moments. I don't know if I could pick a single one. I could tell you probably a single team that I was a part of that really made the biggest difference. I grew up from, I'm from Fort Wayne, Indiana. So,
oh, really?
Outside of the Notre Dame hockey rink, there's nothing in Indiana in terms of hockey. My dad is a basketball guy. So I kind of shipped off to Michigan when I was seven. We moved here and it was kind of like throw me on skates and figure it out. So it kind of just went from there. And, you know, I enjoyed it. And then I was a part of a Little Caesars team when I was 12 or 13. Our head coach was Chris Draper, phenomenal leader, phenomenal human being. And I met some of my best friends for life on that team. That's really where it started. I was a part of that team for 6 years, which in AAA hockey is super rare to keep a core group of guys together. And that just really taught me everything I could ever appreciate about this sport and how great it is to play it alongside some phenomenal people.
Yeah, I was going to ask what AAA hockey next. I mean, seeing 6 years of AAA hockey on your EP page is pretty jarring. I mean, how did you get involved in that program and with that core group? And then talk a little bit more about playing for Chris Draper.
How I got involved, I completely lucked into it. I knew nothing about it, tried out and made the team. So it was whether the grace of God or whatever it may be, I just lucked out into it. Something I really changed my life completely. And I think the guys on that team were incredibly special. I think when we were 16, 17 out of the maybe 18 or 19 guys ended up playing Division I. Everywhere across college hockey. Which was really cool. And then just playing for Drapes was awesome. He's such a pro on and off the ice. And he is incredibly dialed in everything. Like, he's so sharp in terms of his own workouts, his own nutrition, but also, you know, taking care of us, making sure that we love the game no matter what, but that we're working our tails off. And I think to have that from, call it 11, 12 to 16 or 17 was so unique, and that not many people get that opportunity. And just being able to be around his pro presence, his pro leadership, was phenomenal. I can't say enough good things about him and his family.
Well, how were practices with him as a coach? I mean, did it get a little intense at, 12, 13, 14, 15 years old?
Having him? Yeah. Yeah, well, I could remember some intense things, and it was intense because he expected a lot, right? And he knew we were capable of it. So when we didn't, adhere to the standard, it was a lot of hard work, and he pushed us, and that's why I think we had a lot of success. That's why a lot of the guys had individual success on that team, because he knew what it took. He was always fair. I will say that, always fair, and always. First motivation from him was for the love of the game, because deep down he loves it. He knew we loved it, still love it. And that's where it all came from. Certainly some intense days.
Oh yeah. Yeah. But there's a fine line there too, right, Grant? Like, there's a fine line between like the intensity of that and then somebody who actually knows what they're doing and they're like actually setting that standard. And that you hear about it all the time. I mean, you hear about coaches come out of, Shattuck St. Mary's that we just went through that program, maybe weren't nearly as big, but it's the similar situation where it's like they know the standard, they know what it takes to win, and it's different.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he had incredible direction. So he had great intensity, but he had direction. So intensity without direction doesn't tend to lead to the best of circumstances.
Right.
Especially to your example, the people that are experienced, that have been through it, there's so much value in that because they know how to direct all that energy that they have towards one common goal, which is needed for a group of 12 to 16 year old, probably jerks at the time. But
what does a Chris Draper bag skate look like?
we didn't have too many. But let's see. Well, a lot of skating.
Yeah. put the trash can out on the middle of the ice.
No trash can. We might have had sandbags out there one year. Nothing too crazy. Maybe gotcha. Sometimes we didn't touch pucks, but it motivated us to win more. But you know, he was phenomenal, even through the ups and the downs of the whole AAA experience. We were such a close team, and I attribute that all to him.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I want to talk a little bit about the junior hockey career. You played 2 years at the junior level, started in the NAHL with Janesville. How big was that year for your development, you know, which ultimately opens the door for you to get the chance to play in the USHL in Youngstown?
Yeah, it was huge. I think juniors is such a unique thing to hockey. And when you kind of leave home it was my senior year of high school. I left home and you think you're kind of grown up, and then you go somewhere else away from family and you actually figure out that you need to grow up. You need to mature in a lot of areas. So I think off the ice, it was just as big of a growing and learning year as it was on the ice for me. Obviously on the ice, you're getting to play against guys in the NAHL, more so opposed to the USHL, who are 20, 21 years old, and you're learning to, you know, pretty quickly adapt to that. So I think those were, that year in Janesville was a pretty eye-opening year in terms of what I needed to work on in order to be the defensive guy that I am. And certainly a ton of growth off the ice as well.
Just how big of a difference is it playing in the NAHL and the USHL?
It's pretty big. I think the USHL as a whole is just much more precise. The players are obviously much more skilled in terms of the pace at times. And, you know, the NAHL I played in previously is much different than the NAHL today.
Right.
Depending where you are, there's a lot more teams. There's a lot more different things going on. But I will say in terms of physicality, the NAHL has the USHL beat. But the amount of guys in the USHL that can just make plays that, you know, some guys in the NAHL are unable to do. And certainly when it comes to capitalizing off another team's mistakes, it's much more heavily weighted in the USHL. I remember my year in Youngstown, I was playing against Chicago Steel, which had an unbelievable team. I think their first line was Sean Farrell, Matt Coronado, and Adam Fantilli.
Oh my God, you
make a mistake, like you're going to get scored on. So,
right.
I think just that was the biggest difference was that skill, that speed you didn't see in the NAHL.
Do you think getting a chance to play in both the NAHL and the USHL, when you call the USHL precise and you call the NAHL very physical, you know, just having those backgrounds lend you to be a better CCHA player, understanding how physical and defensive minded the CCHA can be, but also, you know, it's still college hockey and there still is probably that level of preciseness to this game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, certainly. I think the physicality element of my game is mostly attributed from the NAHL and having to grind against, bigger, older players. That's just the reality of it, is learning how to play against that when, you know, I am only 5'11", 6 foot. I'm not that tall, but that certainly helped me a ton. And then obviously the speed of the USHL is much more comparable to college. College is obviously a little bit faster. But you certainly take those pieces and kind of put them all together when you come and play CCHA. But certainly college is a big step up from junior, just like junior was a big step up from AAA. Yeah,
absolutely.
So the recruiting process, I mean, what can you sort of tell me about it for you personally, and why ultimately did you feel like Lake State was the right fit for you?
Mm-hmm. So obviously different recruiting rules from now, a lot has changed. It makes me feel like an old man, but Yes. So going into that first year in Janesville over the summer, Lake State had been talking to me quite a bit. And they were really kind of my first offer, my first invite to come up here. And I had some experience up here before. They run what's called a Maha camp every year. So it leads to the select development camp out in New York. Gotcha. Top 100 players in Michigan come up here for 2 years. So I had a taste of the school. I enjoyed how close it was to home, which is around Detroit area for me. But right off the bat, not only the history spoke to me, but the coaching staff as well, just incredibly ingrained in my journey, my process. I tell people all the time as I went through recruitment, and obviously even after I was committed here, which I did shortly after I went to Janesville, I got a call every week, every 2 weeks from a member of the coaching staff, you know, checking in. How are you? We watched this. We want you to fix this. I love that. I'm a feedback guy. I'm a consistent work guy. So that really spoke to me, especially when a lot of other programs, I think, maybe don't have the time or the dedication to call those players every so often. You know,
right.
It was weird. I wasn't committed here and I was getting calls every spoke to me off the bat, and I saw that pretty quickly after I visited here, just how much they care for the players, which was awesome. And then obviously the school is certainly small, but that honestly fits me. It's really neat to be able to talk to professors on a first name basis, to have that school element dialed in so that I know I can focus on hockey as well and dedicate as much time to both things and really try and excel at both.
Yeah. And you talked about the coaching staff, and I want to ask you about Coach Witten specifically. I mean, he's the third youngest coach in the CCHA, and he's pretty revered amongst, you know, his coaching counterparts. You know, from a player's perspective, you know, what kind of a coach is he to play for day to day? You see him in the locker room, right? You know, just talk to me about who the guy is behind the bench.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's it's funny you use the word revered, because he's pretty down to earth in the locker room, and he does a good job of talking to everybody. You know, one thing I've really picked up on, valued over my 4 years, is that he listens to the players, which I think can be said for a lot of coaches, but maybe not all of them. And he really puts an emphasis on, and I, you know, I see this now, maybe didn't see it as a freshman, but as a senior and as a leader, I see it now. He puts the emphasis on the seniors to lead this team. And that's how it should be. The coach should definitely be able to give you some direction, right? We talked about the intensity and the direction, the importance of that. But I think we have a great group of seniors, and he recognizes that and knows that we can lead this team. So I think as much as he's a good motivator and a good coach and knows how to get us fired up in the right moments, he also really enjoys listening to us and using that to implement it as well.
You know, you talked earlier about how you feel like there's other guys who in a lot of ways are leaders on this team. And maybe even not so much guys who are seniors, but maybe even some underclassmen who have taken on that role. Is that a Coach Witten thing? I mean, is that something that he sort of instilled? Is he kind of makes these leaders? I mean, talk about him being a player-led team. Is that sort of his doing in a lot of ways?
I certainly think so. I think it's a culmination of his guidance as well as some of the leaders we've had in the past. Louis Boudon, a couple of years ago, he was a phenomenal leader. Yep. We obviously had Artie Borshev and Harry Roy, who did a great job last year as well. So I think it's a few different things, and I will say, I kind of forgot this, but during my recruitment visit, he put a huge emphasis on culture. And obviously when he came in, this was an incredibly struggling program at the time. Mm-hmm. And he came in and really turned it around. His emphasis was on the culture, is doing all the little things right. So you see the benefits of it over time. And I know, like, when I came in and I was a freshman, I was ingrained in the culture pretty quickly. Because I had to be, and that was something that I really respected. And so my job now is, as a senior and a leader, is to do that as well. But yeah, to your point, there's a ton of great leaders all over this team. We see it in the freshman group, guys stepping up, guys, you know, being vocal, which is pretty unique for freshmen to do as well. And obviously incredibly exciting.
when you go through your recruitment process, right, that's kind of around the time where Witten's trying to establish that culture. That's in the early phases of his head coaching career at Lake State. You know, does he kind of sell you on the idea of being part of the foundation of what he's trying to build in those recruiting pitches?
Yeah, certainly. Certainly. They always emphasize that they want good hockey players, but they want good people too. Because, you know, when you have one or don't have the other, or they don't mesh, it makes for a difficult circumstance. So certainly when he was recruiting me going through, he said, you know, I'd be a part of the foundation, which I thought was pretty cool in terms of setting it up and really trying to serve the other players as well.
Absolutely.
Grant, you're kind of the prototypical defensive defenseman. I mean, you scored one time. I believe it was a Capo Cup goal, right? In your three-plus seasons.
Yep.
When did you learn that was the mold you were going to fit as a defenseman and just that was sort of kind of the style of game that you had?
Yeah, I've always been less offensive. It's something I work on every day. But I've always been less offensive. I understand that. I understand, you know, who I am, what I am as a player. Honestly, I think Draper tried to mold me offensively and grow me offensively as much as he could, but he recognized early on that I had a knack for defense.
Mm-hmm.
So he pushed me to, you know, continue to work on my backward skating, to continue to be physical, great stick. Like those are my habits that really make me who I am. Again, not to say I don't work on that stuff all the time and try to do my best to grow that element of my game. But I recognize, you know, defense is where I am strongest. But I think Draper really set me up for that. And then going into Janesville, that was what they asked me to be as well and asked me to really focus on. And same in Youngstown, same when I got here. My goal right off the bat freshman year was, you know, grow those other elements to your game. But we needed you to be a incredibly solid defensive guy, PK guy. So I think early on it was caught that I had a knack for defense more than offense, but hopefully we'll see a few more this year.
Do you still remember that goal? I mean, the goal you scored last season? Oh, I mean,
Of course I remember.
Well, okay, look, nobody can see it here. I honestly, for a second, when we were doing the research and the back work on you, I was like, I wonder if we could find that goal, and I could not find it. I like looked all over Twitter and everything. No, I couldn't, but I was like, it's got to be out there. I know Perry probably clipped it at one point. Walk us through what happened on that goal, because I know you don't forget it.
Yeah, it was the second game against Northern Michigan that weekend. Harry Roy, he was our captain last year, who's an absolute stud and awesome guy. Entered the zone, came around the net. He's a righty, so he fired it, and I was top of the circles ish. Got it. Probably closed my eyes and shot as hard as I could. but yeah, it went top left, and I didn't think if you find the goal, it's pretty funny to watch my celebration because I didn't even know what to do. But you know, it was awesome. It was cool, and the guys were obviously pretty pumped for me. So that was a cool moment for me. But especially to do it with the team last year, you know, we had another great group of guys as well. So like I said, hopefully a few more this year.
Do you have a better Sully plan for the next goal?
I think it's just wait and see. We'll figure it out when the time comes. Yeah.
I want to ask you a little bit more about Lake State, especially from last year. You guys roll into St. Thomas and you pick up that first round series win over the Tommies. You know, just what do you remember from that series, and how fun was that bus ride home?
Well, it was a blast. First of all, it was a blast. And you know, St. Thomas had a good team last year. They worked incredibly hard. They were very connected. So we knew going into it that we had to be on top of all elements of our game. And that's kind of just the group we had. Like we had a lot of trust in each other and a lot of trust in the system. I know we finished seventh at St. Thomas too, but I think one or two wins and we're, I think, third, or we have home ice. So that's obviously the conference was incredibly tight last year. So we knew regardless who we played, when we played, where we played, we had a chance to win. So we a ton of trust going into it. And obviously, I'm sure you guys maybe saw the ending of that game with Tritter stepping up and scoring that final goal. Like it was complete trust the entire game. We were down 2-1, ended up tying it up 2-2 late in the third. and then Tritter gets it done. So it was a great experience, and honestly, so much fun to be able to do it with those guys, especially on the road going to a playoff series pretty far from home.
And I'm curious because, you know, obviously last season, you know, a lot was made from that top line where you had Dawson Tritt, you had Connor Milburn, you had Jared Westcott. Westcott's gone, but you bring back Milburn and Tritt. And as being one of those guys who was on that team last year and now you're a leader, how can you guys go about building on a first round win like that and what looks like an improved CCHA? I mean, at least, you know, through these first couple non-conference weekends.
It begins with our approach to every day. I talked about seeing those national championships and coming in every single day to be better. And guys like Milburn and guys like Tritter and Backos and Harrington, and I'm probably missing five other studs.
Right.
They drive that. And I think it's a mindset thing more than, you know, we won last year, we got to do it again this year. Like it starts now, and we hit that early on. And obviously, you know, we've gone through some adversity early. We played a pretty good Michigan State team. And it's just a matter of continuing to build each day. We have a bye week this week, and it's not a week off by any means. Like we're here to work. And I think guys know that. I think guys understand what it takes by winning a series like that, especially for the older guys. So now we got to get the younger guys to understand that, the transfers to understand how tight the CCHA is, and how much it takes to win games in this league.
13 or 14 freshmen last season. I mean, you know, and it was really interesting too, because I think in the second half of the season, a lot of those guys really started emerging. I mean, being one of those older guys and kind of looking at it, I mean, how impressive was it just considering the fact that you guys were so freshman laden, and now to see those guys as sophomores? I mean, how cool is it to sort of see that group come up together?
Yeah, well, they were an absolute breath of fresh air. The year before that was obviously a highly touted year for us. We had a ton of seniors. I think we only had two freshmen. It was Milburn and Huggins, and went, you know, pretty south for us. So having those guys come in, step up, bring in a new perspective, and just really dive right into the culture of what the seniors last year and the leaders were trying to do was the coolest thing. There's nothing more like it makes me want to smile in hockey than when you have a group of 30 guys all going towards the same thing. Obviously when one guy's going this way or one guy's going this way, it makes for some difficult times. and some hard conversations, but you know, we were pulling the rope in the same direction. And to your point, those guys reaped the benefits of that success. And I know that those guys worked incredibly hard. Obviously at the start of your college career, you might not play as much, or you might kind of be in and out. But kudos to all those guys who stuck with that process and obviously had success near the end. I think that speaks to not only the maturity of that class, but the potential for the future for us.
Yeah, and you're a senior now. I mean, it's you know, kind of the last kick of the can, right? You know, I'm curious, just how have your habits changed as you get older, you know, comparing to the player that you were 4 years ago in 2021? You know, just what has changed about you and in your game and how you approach the game?
I think my overall approach hasn't changed a ton. I'd like to think of myself as a worker bee. I was a worker bee in Janesville and Youngstown. That's kind of just who I am. That's who my dad is. That's how I've always been. So from that perspective, I don't know if that's changed as much, but obviously with the experience of college hockey and 4 years here, again, you know, making me feel like an old man. It just, your perspective does change, and you're able to read things a lot faster, pick up on things a lot faster. I was joking with my roommate, Cole Kraft. You know, he said, it's like I've been here before some days. And that's really how it is. Because, you know, we've lived a lot of these scenarios. Obviously, each new day brings a new thing. But being able to have that prior experience and
what is happening,
trying to bring your best each and every day. And that's the biggest thing, is especially as it's gone on, you know, freshman year, you, you maybe don't pay attention to recovery stuff as much, but you start adding things throughout every single year that you're here. And that makes a difference too. Not to mention 4 years, you get to play with four different teams, four different sets of seniors, four different sets of players. Like it's the coolest thing to be able to watch even young guys come in and try and learn from their processes too. I think that's an underappreciated thing that a lot of guys here do. A lot of guys on other teams I've been do. I know Draper did it a ton. He was very observant. So I think that's been a great tool for me to use and try to apply to own parts of my own game.
So you personally, what goals do you have when this hockey season is over with? I mean, are you hoping to go pro, or are you kind of planning on pursuing your business degree?
Yeah, I would love to sign pro. It's everyone's dream here on this team. What my opportunity looks like, I don't know until the end of the season or as the season progresses. So, you know, that's something I'm not gonna keep on the forefront of my mind and really, you know, try and focus on. I'm trying to be where my feet are right now and trying to figure out how can I help this team, you know, get to the next level where we really want to be, where the standard is. So that's my biggest focus as of right now. Obviously, I would love to play pro. It's a dream of mine. And like I said, it's a dream of most guys here. It's something I work towards every single day. But yeah, being focused on where I am and taking this process one step at a time. I probably should have said that too.
About
being a senior. It is one step at a time. You can't look too far in the future. I think sometimes guys get lost when they lose where their feet are and maybe start to drift. But, you know, that's something that also spoke to me throughout my 4 years here. So that's my outlook for this year for sure.
Yeah.
We kind of wrap this up by doing some just quick one hitter questions for you. They're a little bit more laid back. So I want to start with saying the Sioux is obviously one of the smallest Division I communities in the country. Mm-hmm. What do you do for fun in the Sioux and in the UP?
What do you do for fun? Well, I probably spend 4 or 5 hours at the rink every day. so that limits my opportunity to have fun. But, you know, the guys get together quite a bit, whether it's movies or going out to eat or going – there's this bowling alley here, so we'll go there every once in a while. You know, we may not have as many activities as some other places, but the guys will always find something fun to do. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely a community, right? Like you just kind of find your own people. Yeah. Who's the best player you've ever played with?
The best player I've ever played with.
We might hurt some feelings here. It's okay. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm trying to think. I've played with a lot of different people here. I think Louis Boudon was pretty phenomenal. And obviously I see a lot of traits in two different players, but I see a lot of traits in Connor Milburn as I do in Louis. I played with a guy in Youngstown called – his name was Georgi Merkulov. Mm-hmm. He's in the AHL with the Boston affiliate team. Nice. Probably the best hands I've ever seen. Unbelievable work ethic. he's just incredibly focused. I try to learn a lot from him.
Is that the thing? Like, do you try to pick up things from these people too? Like,
Certainly. Yeah, I never picked up Merkulov's hands clearly, but in terms of his mindset, there were so many things to learn from that guy, and he's obviously had a ton of success now, which really speaks to him. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Growing up in, you know, the kind of the Detroit area, mm-hmm. you know, I gotta ask, are you a Detroit sports fan?
Yes. Yes, 100%. I only paused because when I lived in Indiana, I was a diehard Colts fan. Okay. That was during the Peyton Manning era. Yep. The Peyton Manning versus Tom Brady era. So that was such a blast to be a part of. But as I moved to Detroit, obviously with Draper being my coach, huge Red Wings fan, huge Lions fan, and now a big Tigers fan too.
So, I mean, I personally, I'm from Minnesota, so I'm a big Vikings fan. How are you?
Tough game.
Can't give up 21 points in the second quarter. Just can't do it. How are you feeling about the Lions right now?
I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I feel pretty good. Losing Hutchinson is going to be tough for them. But yeah, there's a lot of things to be excited about.
So I got to throw this in there too, because Minnesota and Detroit fans, really, I don't think we can personally get that upset. I mean, it's the energy is channeled towards the Packers and the Bears. Trent is a Chiefs fan.
I'm a Chiefs fan, so it's like,
okay. And he tries to claim that he has had a cursed football fandom before all these Super Bowls started rolling in. So from one sports sad sports fan to another, what do you have to say to that?
Yeah, I don't know if you have much of an argument here, Trent.
Not anymore, man. Not anymore. I will tell you, I had 27 agonizing years, and then it just ended one day. You know what I mean? It was just done.
I wonder what that's like.
It was pretty sweet.
I think it's a bad time to be saying you're a tortured fan right now.
Oh, I know. I know. I know. Yeah. Oh, I know.
All right. Well, that's all we got for you, Grant.
Yeah,
thank
Grant,
you
man.
So much.
It's awesome. Been awesome, man. Very, very great conversation. And we're watching from afar, but I love when I get the chance to talk with Coach Witten. This has been a great interview. Jared West got to interview him last year, is a great interview. Ethan Langenager, who is actually coming back to the UP this weekend to take on Michigan Tech. I interviewed him last year. It was a great, great chat. Grant, you've been awesome. We appreciate having you on, man.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on, guys. This was fun.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. Much appreciated.
All right. Once again, thank you to Grant for joining the show. Fantastic interview with Grant again. Really outstanding. Subscribe to the CCHA show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from. And subscribe to the CCHA on YouTube. Follow us on Twitter at Trent Singer, at Jared Rubato BP. You can check out our work at the BemidjiPioneer.com and SiouxFallsLive.com.